Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, beef buzzing with you today, talking beef exports with Phil Tsang in just a moment.
Cattlemen, want a little more innovation? Pour it on. How about a little more convenience? Pour it on. And just plain old easy to use? Pour it on. Introducing new Banamine Transdermal. It's the first FDA-approved pour-on of its kind. And it's easy, easy, easy. New Banamine Transdermal from Merck Animal Health. Pour it on. Talk to your veterinarian or visit BanamineTD.com.
I'm Kyle Gilchrist, representing the Red Alliance Group. We have provided Red Angus bulls and females in volume to cattlemen in Oklahoma for 16 years. Our bulls represent what commercial cow-calf producers demand and are developed to perform. Join us for our upcoming auction on March 10th at the Heart of Oklahoma Expo Center in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Look us up at redalliance.biz, Facebook, or see our ad in the Stock Exchange publication. We look forward to seeing you March 10th in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
After serving for decades as the president and chief executive officer of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, Phil Tsang has retired from that position, but he's still doing some work with USMEF. And our own Carson Horn had the opportunity to talk with Phil at the recent Commodity Classic out in Anaheim, California. And Phil Tsang says, looking back to 2017, it was a mighty good year for beef and pork exports for the U.S. cattle and pork producers.
Well, we had a great year in 2017 as far as the red meat portfolio internationally. I think last year we exported $13.75 billion worth of meat. We thought we might reach that $14 billion mark, but not quite. But we're going to probably get there this year, we hope. But we had a great year, and we had a great year in Japan. I mean, contrary to a lot of people's thinking, the Japanese market is really growing for meat, is expanding, and so we've been part of that growth, and we want to keep that growth going, obviously, in Japan. And so we're working, even though we're disadvantaged when it comes to the duty with Australia. I think when we take a look at Korea's been performing very well for us. There's a very eclectic, there's the Olympic movement that was going on. But Korea has really been proven to be a very positive market for us, both from the beef and the pork complex. And then, of course, closer to home, the NAFTA agreement has been very good for U.S. agriculture over the years. We're at zero duties going into Canada and Mexico. It's our number one volume market in Mexico for both beef and pork. And Canada's our number four market when it comes to our exports. So those two markets alone are about 35 to 40% of our total red meat exports. So it's very important what goes on this week in Mexico City.
Phil Tsang says a lot of the success that we've enjoyed in Japan and in Korea is because our biggest export competitor, Australia, has been in drought. They've had to be rebuilding their cattle herds, but he says they're getting to a point now where they'll have ample beef to compete aggressively in those markets against the U.S.
Number one is the Australians have really targeted North Asia as a real target area. It's target rich, obviously, with Japan. I mean, total beef consumption went up over 12% last year. If you take a look at Korea, I mean, we're breaking records in Korea and China, of course, the market of the future. And so as we look at these markets, it's becoming increasingly more difficult because Australia is coming back as far as their cattle are concerned. And they've targeted this as their priority market. So with the fact that they have an economic partnership with Japan, they've been able to get a head start on us, if you will, for the last 5 years. And then what's happened also is with TPP, where Australia's duties were scheduled to go down to 19%, they'll go down to 9%. So on a bilateral basis, they only got 19%, but through TPP, the duty goes down to 9%. So Australia, until we get back in TPP, which is the best and the quickest way for us to remedy this differential as far as the tariffs, we're going to be hugely disadvantaged dealing with vis-a-vis the Australians as their cattle are coming back.
Beyond Japan and Korea, the other big market, of course, in Asia, finally open to the United States, is China.
I think that it's definitely a market of the future. It's very strict as far as the price of admission, if you will, to get into that market. So we have to have more cattle identified, and we have to have more plants identified. But we do think that as time goes on, that market's going to pay dividends for us. But the thing about China is, you know, the market itself, there's a lot of competition. There's probably over 70 different kinds of competitors trying to get into that Chinese market or in the market. And, you know, China, it's hard to really get statistics and know what's going on. So it's kind of an up-and-down market. It's not quite like a Japan or a Korea or a Mexico or a Canada. So we're still learning as we go, if you will, in China. Even though we've been involved in China, we've had an office in China for over 30 years, it still takes time for us to really understand because it's really an opaque place to work. It's much, much different than an open society.
Phil Tsang of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
It's the Hall Coyote Hills Ranch Annual Bull Sale, Saturday, March 10th. Selling 100 Limousine and Limflex bulls, there are 70 fall yearlings and 30 yearlings. The sale gets underway at 1 o'clock at the ranch, 1 mile west, 2 miles south, and 1 mile west of Chattanooga, Oklahoma on Highway 5. Call 580-597-3006. That's 580-597-3006. Or go to www.hallchr.com for more information or a sale catalog.
That's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.